Okay, hi. Hello. Hey! It doesn't matter, we're all gonna die. It's Need Coffee versus the Apocalypse. Place your bets, place your bets.
I go for the Apocalypse.
You go for the Apocalypse? It's the Apocalypse, not Apocalypse, the overused Marvel Comics villain, because we could kick his ass. But no, the big A Apocalypse, I think, we will all eventually fall prey to. So that's what we're here to talk about. We're going, we're at needcoffee.com. For those of you wondering what Need Coffee was, in this corner, needcoffee.com. So we're a pop culture website that basically is, the hell are we? We don't know what we do, but we've one-stop shop for
stuff.
Everything.
We look at pop culture, so you don't have to, because it's very ugly. It's got warts on it, and
it's that's just Hannah Montana.
I know. Yeah, we give all the Hannah Montana to Scott, so that's why he looks like he's.
Wait, was that you?
One of the damned. So we'll introduce everybody who's on the panel now, so that we know who we are, and that could change at any moment. Starting from my right, also your right, it's Rox at Spaz House, our artist in residence. Hi, Rox.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. Hi. See, they've already figured out that they're going to die because of the apocalypse anyway. They don't care. They're just like, whatever, just kill us. Doc Ezra, who is our Minister of Literature and Keeper of the Foo. Hi, Doc.
Hello.
Hi. That's Scott C., our Minister of Naughty Bits.
Hi.
Hi. And Jason Service, who is kind of on permanent loan from the Unique Geek.
Yeah, I have no home.
He's like the traveling exhibition. He's our little version of the Louvre.
Just waiting for the egress.
Yes. And I am Widget Walls. I'm the chief cook and bottle washer of needcoffee.com. So
oh, you missed a spot.
What?
You missed a spot.
What spot?
On the bottle.
What?
What?
Oh.
Who?
Okay. Right. Yes.
If anybody's playing panel bingo, that is Scott makes a terrible joke.
Right. If that's still on there, I don't remember.
It used to be a free square, but...
Yes. Actually, the free square used to just say Scott C. So... But now he charges. So so we're here to talk about the apocalypse and its many pop culture forms. As most of you know who have been to a full-on Neat Coffee panel, we will veer pretty much anywhere on the map at
wildly,
any given moment.
Of course.
So please keep your hands and feet inside the panel at all times. So I guess before we throw it open to you guys, and this turns into like a free-for-all version of Pop Culture Thunderdome, I will just say, let's go down the panel and just say... Oh, dear God, from last night. All right. I want to know, just from the folks on the panel, so your choice of apocalypse... Not like the one you think you could survive, but your favorite type of pop culture apocalypse that you find yourself drawn to.
When I was a kid, I'm the oldest one here. I don't mind saying that. On our panel. My first recollection is the late, great planet Earth.
So,
that's, you know, of a slow descent.
That ecological disaster type of thing? Or?
Oh, yeah. It was one of those horrible... pseudo-documentary movies that played everywhere
on
psyche, that it was, the apocalypse was like the slow death of the Earth. You know, that everything was just a churning, everything was dire, the plants are dying, you know, and everything's like yellow, sort of like Soylent Green.
Sort of like Atlanta during pollen season?
I don't know.
Okay, but yeah, trust us,
but
it is.
But the color of Soylent, you know, the way the environment looked in Soylent Green, and everyone is just running around crazy and just... But then you have some people scrambling on top, still able to make some sort of a living...
So basically, what you're saying is it's all come true. It's what it sounds like.
That's right.
I haven't heard anything yet that makes me go, well, that was bullshit.
Rox's favorite apocalypse is today.
Yeah, so good. Yeah. We're living in it right now. Congratulations, all of you. All right, Doc, what was yours?
Nuclear Holocaust.
Yeah.
Damnation Alley, Mad Max, Day After, take your pick, bright flash in the sky, and people dying of dysentery. That's where it's at.
I will say this. I kind of grew up in the shadow of nuclear holocaust. As most of us did, terrified that at any... Every time the tornado siren goes off, you're like eight, you're going, we're screwed, you know. Duck and cover. Yeah, that'll help.
If you ever walked outside during recess and checked the sky for contrails, know what I'm talking about.
Although, my school had a bomb shelter.
Yeah.
And they housed paint. So we were screwed if we... We would have to, like, remove all
the bomb shelter.
No, wait, so basically...
But was it
lead paint?
That would have
sure
been even better.
Catholic school.
So basically, it's the end of the world brought to you by Sherman Williams.
Yeah.
So, but if lead paint, it would have worked.
But see, if you remember, how many people have seen the horrible, horrible shot part of in my hometown Richard Harris movie called The Ravagers? Only people from my hometown will admit that, because sadly that's one of our claims to fame. It's like number 5 beneath, you know, military complex, space and rocket center, space camp, but no Leah Thompson, so it's not nearly as interesting.
Or that weird little robot.
Oh my God. Thanks, Herbie. But no. What the hell was I saying? Oh, the Ravagers. So basically, everything, they shot the scene in the Space and Rocket Center, right? Rockets everywhere. And for some strange reason, the Apocalypse had painted everything brown. It wasn't even damaged or anything. It was just all painted brown. So basically, Rox, we could call upon you after the Apocalypse to make everything pretty again with the paint in the fallout shelter underneath your school. But no, I was so sick when it came to nuclear holocaust that not only did I watch, like, The Day After as a child, scarred for life, but then I went to go find the UK version of it. Has anyone seen a movie called Threads?
Yes.
Yeah.
Holy crap. I mean, Day After, you go... Okay, well, you know, maybe there's... It's not Testament where you know everything's screwed. You go, maybe
there's
a
human
slim
value in
of
it.
Humanity left. No, it's the Brits. They're like, screw it. You know, you get... There's like... It's a story of two families, and after the flash goes off, like 5 minutes later, there are like two people in the two families left alive. It's like the most bleak nuclear holocaust movie ever. I couldn't even stop... When they got to the point where they were like, you know... cutting people's charred limbs off with, like, hacksaws on screen. I was just like, oh, my God. And then, you know, Eli Roth could turn around and remake that right now, and nobody would blink an eye. But I was watching this as a kid. I sought this out. That's how weird I am. But now I prefer to go for a more fantastical apocalypse, which would be the zombie apocalypse. Yeah, yay, end of the world by the Walking Dead. Because I'm just drawn to that because it's, and we've discussed that on other panels about the, you know, the inexorable, slow moving, I don't have to rush to kill you, I don't have to sleep or eat or anything, I will catch your ass eventually and bite it off. So I'm with zombies now. Scott, where are you?
I think the apocalypse I would be most interested in is the one initially suggested by Scott Adams of Dilbert, is when we finally invent the holodeck, we're all going to go in and never come out, and that'll be the end of humanity.
Amuse ourselves to death.
Exactly.
Yes. Somebody should do an album about that.
Yeah.
So we're all in there having the time of our lives while everything falls apart, and we're just like, do-do-do-do-do. So.
Do we have to make that noise?
No.
Oh, good.
Yeah. No, it's an optional extra.
Okay, good.
I'll make that noise.
I'm sure you will. And a devious laugh. Service. There it goes.
You know, I would, early in life, it was certainly the nuclear.
Right.
You know, growing up in the, you know, born in the early 70s, growing up in the 80s, you know, it had to be. But nothing beats, for all-out class of an apocalypse, a biblical style.
Oh.
Biblical apocalypse.
Sorry,
I mean,
it was
no
my pacemaker.
No one can kill the world like God.
That's very
so,
true.
You know, that, you know, not that I'm overly religious, but...
So any, just any form of God
some,
getting...
Like revelation.
Sulfur, right. You know, yeah. Oil the seas, you know, the whole nine yards.
Right.
You want the full Broadway version.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bring it full screen,
so,
HD.
So are you? So based on that, are you interested in the upcoming movie Legion with Paul Bettany?
No.
No, all right. I know it's Sony Screen Gems, but I mean, how could you not at least want to rent a movie where you have people machine gunning angels?
Yeah.
Suddenly everybody's like, machine gunning angels. I have to rethink this. Would you right?
Well, you know they hate us.
What, angels?
Angels hate us. Yeah.
Yeah.
God likes us better.
Kevin Smith established that.
Yeah,
that's
very
true. They just kept their mouths shut. They saw what happened to Lucifer.
Prophecy.
Yeah, they kept their mouths shut.
Yes.
Lucifer, but it's like...
Oh, wait a minute. Christopher Walken's version of Prophecy was... was fun, at least.
Yeah.
Christopher Walken as pissed off angel here to kill us all, you didn't have any redeeming qualities in that.
I'm just going to say that fun can sometimes be a very far cry from good.
Okay, we're at DragonCon. I'm sure we've all watched some very fun, not good movies. Are you with me?
Absolutely.
All right, yes, fantastic.
Apocalypse by Smarmy Behavior.
Again, Rox is going for what's happening today. We'd prefer to keep it a little bit fantastical, other than you're all in it, and you're wallowing in it. So I suppose we should talk about some pop culture bits of Apocalypse. Let's get everybody's favorites, and then we'll throw it open to see what you guys want to talk about. Rox, pop culture Apocalypse-wise.
Soylent Green.
Soylent Green?
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic.
Fallout, any of them.
Okay, I'll have two. I will say I really liked Stephen King's The Stand.
Yeah.
Actually, the original version as opposed to the unexpurgated version, just because there is such a thing as having too much of a good thing. And also Kirkman's Walking Dead comic book. Which is yes, the people not. Oh, it's fantastic. If how many people read Walking Dead? Okay, if you are faint of heart at all, or like becoming attached to characters at all, then for God's sake, do not read this comic book, because the man has not a shred of humanity in his body whatsoever, and will not hesitate to torture, maim, kill
little kids.
I mean, it's literally a George Romero zombie film where there's no closing credits that you can walk away from. It just keeps going and going and going. So, there. Well, fantastic. Ooh, it's terrible. Fantastic recommendation there. Scott, your favorite.
I'm trying to think, and there's no...
We're used to that.
Yeah, I know.
try.
We're also tired. Pass? This isn't super password. What are you doing?
Pass.
All right, service.
I was going to go with Stand also. Stand, you know, just fantastic. But don't forget the original Mad Max.
I do like the Mad Max series.
Yeah.
So service, just out of curiosity.
Not so much Thunderdome...
Okay.
Mad Max.
I do like Thunderdome.
Less than the Great
Road
V8.
Warrior. Yes. Thunderdome.
Oh, come on.
No.
I
give no quarter.
I do like Thunderdome.
Well,
putting two people into a dome, having a bunch of people jumping around on bungee stakes with, you know, things.
Chainsaws.
What's not to like?
I will give... I have thought of one that I enjoy. Is Why the Last Man?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
Because one of the things he does is he really thinks out how people would react. I remember one scene early in the comic where he's having this talk with this woman that all the great rock stars are dead, because unfortunately there aren't that many women in rock, so all the great rock stars are gone. And all the things, like, I think it's like the Secretary of Agriculture, who's a woman, or somebody finally takes over as president because she's the next line, and then all the Republican wives show up saying, no, we want the government. And it's just, he really thinks out all the stuff that goes on.
So, Why the Last Man? People familiar with Why the Last Man? Okay. Basically, Why the Last Man is a DC Vertigo comic book, which postulates what would happen if every man on Earth suddenly dropped dead.
Not just every man. Isn't it they?
Every male critter, right. Of which we are critters.
Right.
We are a human animal, as Jiminy Cricket taught us all. And except for one guy named York, who's an escape artist, and his monkey Ampersand. And it is it's really quite good. If you're familiar with Vertigo, a lot of their long-running series have a tendency to veer off into some weird place and never come back. Preacher! Sorry, you can stone me later. But this kind of wandered around a bit and then came back solid at the end, so I highly recommend it. But yeah, that's a good one.
I want to add Handmaid's Tale.
Yes.
True.
Yeah. I mean, you can have a slow apocalypse. Or, you know, that's why I picked Soylent Green.
Thank you for reminding me, because I think also her other book, Oryx and Crake.
Yeah.
Oryx and Crake.
That's it.
And because basic story is we become this, even more so, this pop culture obsessed. I mean, one of the things they invent is something, the chicken thing.
Chicken bombs.
The chicken bombs, where it's just a chicken that they genetically engineered to be all legs.
It grows.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like how they engineer an apocalypse because one guy who's extremely brilliant decides, you know, humanity's fucked.
Yeah.
Let's just start over. And he actually designs a whole new race.
They can eat their own feces.
Exactly. So it's really interesting how you see humanity descending, but it's like, this guy's a smug son of a bitch. It's like what, like, the movie Watchmen should have done. He's almost like Ozymandias in that way.
Yeah, yeah.
But not, he's smug and arrogant, but he's not nearly as, like, what's the word I'm looking
for? Well,
he knew he was doomed. I mean, that's why he did what he did.
I'd like to just point out that the creepiest thing that has happened so far at this panel is the smile on your face when you said, they can eat their own feces. Color me terrified. So, what's that?
Does that deserve a prize?
Yeah, I think that deserves a prize. Here we go. What do we got? What do we got in here that's not? What's that?
I've only read it 5 times.
Good lord. Do you want Torchwood? Children of Earth? Right, go for it. There you go. Hooray!
I've got one. It's sort of in a subgenre we haven't really talked about. There's a movie called The Quiet Earth.
Oh, yeah, which I didn't understand at all, and still
it's haunts me. A super science apocalypse, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
A guy wakes up one day, and he's the only person left on Earth. There are no bodies. There was no nuclear explosion. There was no nothing. He's just all there is. He wanders around a completely deserted city, builds himself a nice little mansion, actually moves into an existing mansion, fills the front yard with mannequins, and goes out and gives speeches in a stolen military uniform periodically to keep himself sane. Can't figure out what's going on. Has anybody seen this, or am I just talking to a... Okay, there's a few. Good.
What is it called?
It's called...
The Quiet Earth. He eventually does determine he's not the only person left. He's one of a very small number. There was something involving the place he worked, which was some sort of super physics research laboratory. Something happened in the middle of the night, and everyone disappeared. I think the common thread that we finally discovered, the only people that lived... But it's worth it just alone for the scene where he walks into a church with a shotgun and demands answers from God, or, and I quote, the kid gets it. The crucifix behind the altar. Definitely check it out. It's a British movie, I think.
Australia and New Zealand, yeah.
But very good stuff. And a very different... There aren't a whole lot of apocalypse scenarios that use that same kind of... Here, it's just some weird physics thing.
Well,
and you don't get any of the destruction.
Right.
No nuclear blast.
The other thing,
dead.
Talking about super science apocalypse, the one that springs to mind is, has anyone read Blood Music?
Yes.
By... that was Greg Bear, right?
Greg Bear.
Yeah. It's just, I'll give you a quick thing. Blood Music, which was out of print for a while, which is weird. Mm-hmm. Books go out of print. Like, I Am Legend was out of print once. Like, how do you have Stephen King's favorite novel go out of print?
What for 30 years.
What in the hell? I had to seek this book out. How many people, I Am Legend, screw the movie. How many people have read the actual book?
Well, listened.
Well, listen, that'll count. All right. Is that Richard Matheson... you know, the inspiration for Night of the Living Dead, Stephen King's favorite novel. Basically, you know, the thing that was in the movie is sort of right, in that it, Last Man on Earth, everyone else is turned into vampires, oh shit. But it has some science behind it where he's trying to figure out what's happened and try to figure out a way to reverse it. And I literally had to seek it out in a used bookstore, and I didn't even get I Am Legend. It was an Omega Man paperback tie-in.
Ooh.
That I had to buy, but then sat down and like read it in an afternoon. It's fantastic. If you've not read it, you must. But oh no, it's okay. Let's do Blood Music real quick because I'm going all over the place.
Sorry.
I told you we would veer. Blood Music is basically they develop an intelligent cell. That's right. An intelligent cell, and this guy decides that rather than have the project closed down, he's going to smuggle it out inside of his own body, and. I think you... Yeah, I see some people's faces automatically working about how that's a really terrible idea. And there's at one point... I'm not giving really anything away, but this guy... the cells start to, shall we say, replace him. And so he's lying in a bathtub, and he's talking
but
to some
first,
other guy. What?
But no, first it makes him, like, healthier and,
oh, yes,
and
no,
hornier.
It makes all these changes to his body, but the bit I didn't want to give away is just the thing that... really blew my mind and has stuck with me is that so they get to the point where he says yes, they've crossed the blood-brain barrier and they're speaking to me directly. And I've told them that there's an entire universe outside of me. And they're having a bit of a problem with scale. And I just went, oh, Jesus Christ. So that's a good one, but it gets really super science.
It does.
Just to the point where you're like bleeding out the nose going, whoa, Craig, help me out
here.
Well,
Craig does that.
And we do,
Craig,
we
yeah,
do
but yeah.
You know, in the whole super science box, there's a lot of the engineered plagues, the stand, 12 monkeys.
Oh, yes, 12 monkeys.
You know, we've got some examples of, but it tends to lean towards the biological more often than the weird, like theoretical physics.
Well, did that happen before or after the Cold War?
Which?
The trend towards biological apocalypse.
It goes pretty far back.
Well, I mean, technically, I Am Legend was a biological apocalypse.
What's interesting is, I remember, because I actually listened to it recently, was that it actually happened after America won a nuclear war. And the radiation slowly affected, which finally became the vampire plague, but the whole thing was, like, America was like, oh, we won, but then slowly, you know, the particles started showing up and everything, but, so, it's, where was that going?
I don't, we've been trying to figure that out since we met you.
I know.
An elf just dropped this in my lap. I actually wrote something on the site about this, when we went to go see, which elf was this? Oh, those elves. Okay. I went to go see Gone with the Wind at the Fox Theater. And because it's Gone with the Wind and it was at the Fox Theater.
And it's Atlanta.
But basically, here's the deal. As watching that again, I realized, wait a minute, the whole sequence after, like, everything's gone to shit, is a post-apocalyptic movie. You know? So he's going through, they're hiding under a bridge from the marauders, and you know, the mule's dying or whatever, and I was just like, yeah, Atlanta burns, or really it was, you know, the 4 or 5 sets that they had in the back lot burned.
The land.
Yeah.
Unable to
grow. Yeah, you can't grow anything. It was just like, I was like, wow, this is a post-apocalypse.
And
weird.
And they had the birth to reaffirm that life will go on.
Right. So, anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there because that's how weird my mind is. I'm sitting there in the Fox Theater going,
well, we're used to that.
Where's Iron Bar and Tauntaun? You know, it's just like, weird. Anyway, so, thank you. Play something, Tauntaun. Something tragic. I like doing that to him.
But one of the things that Greg Breer and Blood Music brings up is while the apocalypse happens, it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah. The apocalypse is just, you know, the end for somebody.
Right.
You know? Oh, and I Am Legend, sort of without, you know, for the people who haven't read it, fools, not ruining anything for them, but I mean, it's only somebody's apocalypse.
And, you know, the whole thing with the singularity and the positive apocalypse, the nerd apocalypse, is like, well, the world ends, but the nerds inherit the earth instead of, like, you know, nasty.
Time enough will last.
Yeah.
Well, no, in that case, he would have had contacts and hadn't worried about the
virus. All the time in the world. So,
but that's another interesting thing is, like, we have, like, the positive apocalypse. Like, things end, but maybe for the better.
Here's a question. Since we talk about this, does anyone on the panel think any number of times that you can survive and what you would do? How to create a lifestyle for yourself.
Well, I mean, there's... No, yeah, seriously, there's not a person in this room who doesn't have a zombie plan right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, everybody's nodding.
Several backups, actually.
I know. I love being at Dragon Con where you can throw something out like that and everybody goes, hell yeah. And in fact, mine's better than yours, asshole.
Well, I mean, you throw that to, like, you know, people at work, and they don't know what you're talking about. And they think
yeah. There's people out there going, we don't throw that to people at work.
I do.
We don't want people to think we're the quiet ones that are going to show up with a shotgun one day.
I have thrown that out to my bosses because, A, they grow their own food.
And, B, you just want to scare them.
He's got, like, a sawmill, and he builds crap. I'm like, you know?
He builds crap?
Well, he builds. He's got a sawmill, so he can supply lumber for trade.
Mm.
I'm like, you know, if the apocalypse comes now, you guys are sad. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, look, you, yes, you're land barons right now. And they're like...
So, wait, I'd just like to point out, Rox, you really should see this as a positive, because since they don't know what they have, when the apocalypse happens, you can take a can of paint, knock their asses out, and take over, and you're the land baron. See, you gotta spin it around. You gotta spin it around.
Surviving an apocalypse. Well, I have no chance of surviving my preferred fictional apocalypse, based on being high on a target list in my hometown. But, yeah, in the event that there was one, I don't actually have any marketable skills, which is how I end up here.
Right. We feel you, brother.
Yeah. But I've cultivated relationships with a large group of friends who are really excellent shots and can make things work. I married someone that can make their own soap and candles and clothes and... We don't have a fortress. That's really, and that's what the people who are excellent shots are for. So,
is to give you time to build said fortress,
or to just go seize one.
Oh, that's good.
We've identified a few structures in town.
So basically, again, I'd like to point out that Rox, you found your enforcement squad, and we're just—it's all about making connections. This is all networking for us. You guys are all screwed, but we're fine. So, and you don't know where we live, so it's okay. Yeah, right here.
Survived the initial hit.
That's why he has several.
Well, that's why there's not just one guy who's an excellent shot. I have many, and they're geographically diverse.
Well done.
So if I have any kind of warning at all, I just pick the city most likely to survive and go hook up with my friends there. What's that?
Now we've just met Lord Humongous.
Well. That's right. Awesome. Yes, no, we're this is serious stuff, yeah. No, but that's what's interesting is that, you know, it's to me the I again, knock on Formica, but I think we're almost past the idea of total nuclear annihilation, at least in the old paradigm.
Yeah, we're looking at like a smaller exchange.
Yeah, what scares the shit out of me, of course, is the biological apocalypse of, oh, we just decided to, you know, lace smallpox with something even deadlier, like, you know, the greatest hits of Yanni, and we're putting it out there as a mimetic plague. You know it's true, and it would kill you all in an instant.
But what's even scarier is it doesn't need to be engineered. I mean, the slums of the third world, where they don't have antibiotics or anything, are breeding grounds for, like, what could be the next superbug.
Well, and what's worse is due to the abuse of antibiotics, pretty much any place is a breeding ground for the next superbug. I mean, that's what scares me, since which science fiction grandmaster doc said that the reason the dinosaurs went extinct is because they had no space program?
Oh,
was that Clark?
Might have been Clark.
Okay.
I don't remember off the top of my
head. I agree with that. I mean, it's one of these things where I don't even worry about, like, I would just like the species to get off planet, because I'm kind of fond of us as a species, go figure. And I don't know that I would go off planet, because I'm a wuss like that, and I've seen too many science fiction horror movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things like, you know, do you want to go out in shark-infested waters? No, I don't want to do that either. So why would I go into such a harsh environment where, you know, something this big could kill my ass? But I just, you know, that's the thing is I'd really like the perpetuation of the species. But then you get into something like...
So you got to make friends with those guys, too.
I'm trying. Wonder where he works. But yeah, I mean that's the thing is that we're evolving into different forms of apocalypse here that could actually happen.
When you mentioned space, well, and the whole genesis for that comment is the astronomical apocalypse. Look, it's an asteroid. We're doomed because there will be no
Bruce Willis.
No Bruce Willis.
And no Sean Connery.
There's at this point, and at least not for another 20 years and quite a few billion dollars, absolutely nothing anybody can do about
that. That was the thing that disturbed me. What was it? Phil Plait, who's here, the bad astronomer, was twittering about, oh, here's this, you know, object that passed this close to the Earth, and ooh, how cool. And made it sound like a surprise, which of course it was. And I wrote back, I was like, shouldn't we be a little bit more concerned about the fact that it was a surprise? I would like, you know, I would like to know, hey, guess what? This is going to be happening, but don't panic because it's only going to miss us by a little bit. Yeah, right there.
My favorite is that the scientist said,
asteroid heading to us, but we can't shoot our missiles at it because if we blow it up, it might make it worse. If it hits it, we're all going to die anyway. How worse could it get?
Well, there is worse.
Because there is worse.
because the... I mean, if you do break it up into a bunch of little bits, then you've just, you know, it's like setting off a cosmic claymore mine, you know? So
you go from something, typically you go from a large object that is 80% likely to hit the planet to 50 small objects, half of which are 100% likely to hit the planet. Because even if they're fairly certain it's on a collision course, gravity does really weird things when you get between the planet and the moon and all that sort of thing. So there's always a chance.
Right, and remember,
we'll just skim away and we'll all be fine. There was I can't remember the name. I want to say they named it Apophis. It was an asteroid they were tracking. There's an excellent YouTube video you can go search up with Neil deGrasse Tyson. Anybody know who this guy is? He's I can't remember the observatory he's in charge of, but he's a astrophysicist, and he gave a talk a couple of years ago about how the universe hates us and wants us to die. And basically talk about the harsh environment of space, and that basically we exist on a very narrow margin. And they had tracked this asteroid when it came by the planet several years ago, and had determined that when it came back around, if it passed through this little 100-mile by 100-mile window, then we were... Yeah, the keyhole, exactly. And you could probably get it with Neil Tyson and keyhole, and that will get you your YouTube result, that we were absolutely guaranteed to be doomed. Fortunately, it missed, but not by a lot. But it will be, you know, 1,000 years before it comes back through that same sort of path again.
So it's
it was a really interesting talk you should check out. You want to talk about the apocalypse in scientific terms. Tyson goes to great lengths to detail all the ways that the universe is prepared to destroy us in a moment, and how we're not doing enough to pay attention to it and track all these things. It was an accident they saw Apophis the first time.
Well, and remember, all we need is some object to come through and screw up the moon on its way through, and we're Thundar the Barbarian.
As long as I get a sun sword. I'm okay with that.
But you've made friends who know how to do sun swords, I'm sure.
I a couple of optics guys.
Okay, yeah. Good, all right.
The answer's easy, and I got it from the movies.
What's that?
I'm going to have a nice cold pint and wait for this all to blow over. going to the Winchester.
it's safe, familiar, and service can smoke.
Smoke.
If you don't, we'll just light you on fire. It's okay. Bonfire for people to find us. So feel free to jump in. I mean, we're just going to keep rattling unless somebody stops us. Yes, in the back there.
Original movie and a TV movie on the beach where just everybody died. The part of it that got you was when they were handing out suicide kits to families that you kill their kids before everybody, you know, so they go gentler before the radiation poisoning.
Right. Yeah. How many people are familiar with On the Beach? Terribly depressing. Basically, the nuclear holocaust, right? Hey, Australia, we dodged it. No, we didn't. Here comes a large radiation cloud that's going to kill us all.
Slowly.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it. Congratulations, you've got the plot, and just really terribly depressing. Not as bad as Threads, but it's there. What's that? Yeah, right. That's true. It's the end of the world. Normally, a depressing thing. So, you know, end of the world, and we know it, and I feel fine. Probably not, Michael.
And all the global warming guys, the historical environmentalists, the ones who are really checking history, we're way overdue, about 10,000 years for a major ice age. Forget global warming. Glaciers and
people. Right. We don't need to go out to the universe that wants to kill us. The Earth wants to kill us. Everything wants to kill us.
Everything wants to kill us.
Everything hates us and wants us to die.
Do not bring up the happening.
Turnabout's fair play. We've been trying to kill the Earth since we were put on it.
Well, after making a movie like The Happening, we probably all deserve to die as a species. My God. Yeah, right here.
Even though it wasn't an apocalypse on a major scale, the movie The Fog, where they just... Oh, hey,
a little microcosm.
Yeah. Oh, shit's coming through. What do you know? And the entire town just...
The Mist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Delaney's Dahlgren is like that. Anybody read Dahlgren?
Yes.
There's one. Wow.
She's read and seen everything. Apparently. I like her a lot, even though she's creepy.
So what's your plan for when it happens, ma'am?
Yes. Oh, creepy ma'am.
What's your survival skills?
I'd rather not.
Okay.
She's smart.
You'd rather not survive? Or okay.
You better get her on your list.
Dahlgren, yeah, it's an incredible book. It's...
I didn't hear you the first time.
Hey, twos, I'm feeling a little better. The rest of you, though.
Okay, what is it called again?
Dahlgren.
Dahlgren.
D-H-A-L-G-R-E-N.
Constantly.
What's that?
It's inconsistent in the time.
It is. It is. That something, with a capital S, happens to this town. Nobody in the town knows anything about it, and everybody outside of the town... All they know is the place has been subjected to a media blackout, and so you have a character who travels to this town to see what's going on, you think. But he's not sure, because once he gets there, he can't really remember how he got there. And, yeah, it's another one of these weird, maybe something theoretical physics-ish that happened to this place. It's never entirely clear, but the town sort of descends a little Thunderdome-ish, and there's all sorts of little petty warlords running different neighborhoods. So it's an excellent sort of small-scale apocalypse, too, where you get a city that's shut off with no support from the outside and how they get around.
That, another one would be No Man's Land from Batman, where they basically cut off Gotham and how they deal with that. Did that for you?
Exactly. No, I was going to actually bring up something very similar to that. Brian Wood has a comic out that's been out for a couple of years called DMZ, where basically the United States breaks off into civil war, and the focus is pretty much primarily on New York City and how everything's so cut off, and you've got the free states and then the government fighting the people on the inside. There are no resources. They've got to be snuck in and out. You've got the free states who, like, kind of people in upstate New York, basically rednecks with guns that know that they have everything. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, now barter with us. And it's about a reporter that sits there daily and has to interact with the people but report news live from within this little microcosm of, hey, the United States is now broken up like this.
Right. Well, we're talking... It's the difference between, like, the... You know, just a total breakdown of society versus, you know, we're all just completely screwed. I guess we're talking about the on the scale of screwed, the screwed scale, you know, from like 1 to 10. The road? Yeah, that was pretty bad. I mean, I
well, are you
Jesus Christ? Yeah. It was,
are you defining metaphysical scrutitude as like the end of life on Earth or something less?
No, I mean, like, yeah, the end of life. There's the end of life, and then there's the end of life as we know it. Okay. So, I mean, there's a bit of a difference there. But yeah, The Road. It was funny when I heard that they were making that into a film. I said, "Wow, it's going to be the feel bad movie of the year. It's going to be this year's Requiem for a Dream,
or maybe Oscar bait."
End of hope. Nothing good ever happens.
Oh, no, I mean, it's literally... Okay, so, Road, how many people rode down the road? Okay, Jesus Christ. Cormac McCarthy, okay, the guy who did No Country for Old Men, he did the original novel for that, wrote this, and it's basically this story of this father and his son, and the son, you know, wasn't even around when whatever happened, the bad thing, capital B, capital T. And basically everything's shot. I mean, there's no vegetation, there's no animals, everybody has turned into marauding bastards who want to enslave you or eat you or both, and he's trying to get his son to safety, and he's... What's that?
That's a weird-ass Christ figure.
Yeah, it's the whole thing is a weird ass everything. I mean, it's just, I mean, and he's basically got he's got a gun with two bullets in it, And he's so hard up that he carves bullets out of wood to fill the other chambers of the revolver so it looks like he's got it fully loaded. I mean, that's how bleak it is. There's a sequence in which, and I'm not giving anything away, but this is when I was just like, I listened to the audiobook because I haven't had time to read recently, and so I'll clean up the house, listen to an audiobook. So I'm listening to this read to me, you know, it's like, it's story time, Widge, let me tell you about the complete fucked upness of the world. So basically, it gets to the point where they think the Marauders are going to get them. And he tells his son, he's going to try to ward them off, but just in case it doesn't work, son, remember. And he's like, what is he, 8 or something? He's like, he's like this little kid. He says, son, remember, when you put the gun in your mouth, be sure to tip the barrel up so that you're sure you do it, you know, if it needs to be done. And I'm just sitting there, I'm literally, this is me, just like, I was like, oh my god, I can't. So that's how bleak it is. So if you really feel like.
He's asking the question, well, what if the gun doesn't go off? Well, it's a rock.
Yeah, oh, Jesus, yeah. I mean, it's just. It's literally, I was like, I don't know if I can finish this book because I just want to, like, drink and slip my wrists or something. I'm just,
and this is before.
Yeah, I know, and this is. So, but no, The Road, wow. Wow. I'm going to need like 5 minutes to even get over mentioning that. Okay, yeah, back there. Thank you. Please get us away from the road.
I don't know if this is any better. Sorry if we mentioned this already, but I didn't hear it. I like A Boy and His Dog. It's my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
A Boy?
That's a good one.
It's less bleak than
boy,
The Road.
A Boy and His Dog.
A Boy and His Dog, sorry.
Yes,
sorry.
Less
yes.
Bleak.
Yes.
Not by a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was
almost goofy when you think about it.
The Goofy Apocalypse.
The Goofy Apocalypse.
We're all gonna die. Oh.
Well, I know when he goes down into the shelter and this weird parody of normal American suburban culture. That was like.
Again, which is happening today.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry, what?
You know Harlan's gonna hear about you criticizing his story. You gotta watch it.
I have a friend who knows Harlan, so I think I'm safe.
No, you're not.
Harlan's friends aren't safe from Harlan.
I know.
No, Sonya is safe from Harlan, trust me.
All right, yes.
Going back to what you said about positive apocalypse, of course, none of us wants the world to end or anything like that, but returning to Gone with the Wind, the Civil War, and all those kinds of things, obviously nobody's really thrilled that it happened, but looking back, some good things have come out of it. So on an actual serious note, I know we can make all kind of jokes up for answer of this.
And we will.
I would like to know from each of you if you actually can envision, looking at our world how we have it today, some kind of apocalypse that would happen that you would actually foresee some really good stuff coming out of it.
I would jump on a purely selfish bandwagon and say if we get a small asteroid strike, I am in business for decades. So I think suddenly people will think that maybe we need more than like half a cent on the tax dollar to look for these things in the future. So yeah, small asteroids great. Big asteroid doesn't matter anymore.
A really harsh one is, you know, trying to figure out how to like reduce the human population through something. Okay. So if there is a plague, but it's not total, then resources, impact on the environment.
Yeah, but then the problem is, you know, some of us have to go to Las Vegas, and some of us have to go to Boulder. And I just don't feel like traveling.
My only thing about that, I try to think, you know, if the population's decreased, here's the thing, we still hate each other.
Oh, I know.
We can't get along with anyone,
yeah,
so I bet on the comet. Every time. Because we are an awful race. We really are. I hate to say that. You know, okay, we've got the Dalai Lama. He has hope for us. I don't. You know.
That's why you weren't voted Dalai Lama, Ron.
You'll never get anywhere with that.
That resume got you nowhere. I voted for you, but no one else did.
I mean, you think you like your neighbor? Do you really like you like your neighbors in a survival thing? You rely on your neighbors. You don't like them, but you have to rely on them. So it doesn't make us a better people.
This is the perfect place to ask this question. You've all been at the convention for 3 days with 50,000 people. How do you feel about humanity now?
Actually, honestly, and has this been done? Because maybe it has. Maybe this has been done. Because I know we've got, like, in the UK, they did Dead Set. Are you familiar with Dead Set at all?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Dead Set is basically what happens. People are familiar with Big Brother, the reality TV show Big Brother, right? What happens if there's a zombie apocalypse outside the Big Brother house? And, of course, they don't tell people in the Big Brother house what's going on. So they only find out about it after an eviction goes horribly wrong. And then you've got, you know, kind of like George Romero meets Big Brother, which was created by Charlie Brooker, who does the fantastic UK shows Screen Wipe and You Have Been Watching, but terribly sick.
Well,
I always thought, well, one second, I always thought, wouldn't it be interesting if there was some kind of like zombie apocalypse that happened while we were all here together, all the people who know how to deal with it, and it was like, suddenly it was like, what was it, Dance of the Dead?
Yeah.
It was like, has anyone seen Dance of the Dead, the zombie movie Dance of the Dead? Okay. Yeah, basically, that was the small town, weird Return of the Living Dead-esque chemical thing brings the dead back to life, and the and some of the geeks are the ones who survive because they know what to deal with it, and they get to say the line, yeah, hi, I'm with the sci-fi club, and I'm here to save you. You know, so it's like, imagine that with 50,000 people, we'd be like the Legion of freaking superheroes. You know what I mean?
And we have a few cops here, so it's
I know.
Trust us. It'd be, everybody would be screaming, aim for the head! Like 50,000 people, aim for the head!
All right, we all march on D.C. Stay in formation. Yes, right here.
Just think about that, though. Would you really want all the people at DragonCon to be the future of the human race? No. We would kill each other.
Oh, I can't imagine we'd do any. I can't imagine we'd do any worse than has happened so far.
Yeah, seriously.
if the rest of humanity got wiped out except for everybody that's a dragon, there's plenty of the planet we could spread out on. That way, we won't be cramped into four hotels and one to kill each other. it's the hotel situation that makes us want to kill each other.
It's out of the heart. I remember from a psychology.
It's a hygiene issue.
Yeah.
Well, there's
gamers, Australia.
That's fine.
There was a experiment that I remember in my psychology class where they took like mice and put them in a nice, comfortable little mouse environment, and then they just let them have babies and more babies, but they never increased the size. And as soon as it reached like a tipping point, it was, you know, they were eating the babies, they were attacking each other, there was murder and all this stuff. So proximity definitely leads to a certain amount of antisocial behavior.
Yeah. Yes. Although it would be amusing. So we ought to collaborate and write this, because I think it'd be hilarious. Okay, LARPers. Let's see. We'll give you Texas. Just knock yourselves out. Okay. Historical reenactment people.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah, you can have Pennsylvania. Yeah. We're just assigning people, and then they all march out and just go to Pennsylvania. I think it'd be hilarious.
Yeah. Well, no, what quick thing.
One second. What's that?
Okay.
What were you trying to lay claim to, sir? I guess you were talking. Were you talking?
Well, like,
or were I hearing voices in my head?
You get whatever you want.
501st.
Yes.
Oh, God, yeah. But the thing is, those would be great for zombies because they couldn't get through that crap.
But stormtroopers?
Yeah. The armor.
Dude, they got cracked open by Muppets. I'm not real they're impenetrable.
But there is, how many people have seen the reality show The Colony?
Yeah.
I've seen like bits of it, and it's really interesting how, you know, our culture appropriates everything. They take the end of the world or a post-apocalypse situation and turn it into a reality show. But it's,
I can't wait for the road reality TV show.
Stereotypes, it's amazing.
Yeah,
it's like
exactly.
Day one, and everyone, you're the doer, and you're the antagonist. We hate, you know, yeah, it already falls into little factions and stuff.
But it's a reality show.
Yeah, we had somebody over here, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, you.
I was just going to say, I mean, considering how everyone has their own plan for surviving, everyone assumes this is the right kind of zombie, that's wrong. We'd be killing each other just over that.
Oh, yeah.
Where we're going to live.
Well, there would be a lot of arguing about the right plan. If there's anything a room full of geeks can do, that's debate the right way to fight a zombie infestation.
Anyway, yeah.
Exactly. We'd all get killed debating the plan.
Can we barricade the doors first? Guys. Oh, shit. Yeah, in the back there.
I have two questions. If this happened and this scenario went forward, if I was subscribed and need coffee, do I get to go with you?
that man a prize.
You get a prize.
Is he diamond level or?
Do you have Blu-ray?
Yes, I do.
Have Torchwood Season 2 on Blu-ray.
Thanks, guys.
Second one was, would we save Will Shatner?
No.
Though the toupee would make great roofing material.
And he would keep
Shut up!
He'd keep the zombies busy for a little while, wouldn't he? Yeah. Yes.
Okay, if there was some sort of survivalist scenario, and each of you survived the initial whatever, what practical or barter skill, whatever, do you have that you think would help you along the way?
Oh, God.
I don't want to go first.
Tough luck. That's why I didn't sit on the end.
All right, we'll start on this.
I could make paper. Money. I'm set.
Oh, wow. I think we've already covered I don't actually have marketable skills.
Skills you could barter.
I'd have to fall back on one. I could probably last longer without eating than most of the other people in this room. And
no,
there's never really a shortage of people who need something heavy moved. So as long as... Here, barricade this. Okay. You need me to move what? Yeah, all right. That's pretty much... Any other skills I have are absolutely useless in an apocalypse, but I can always move stuff, so...
Okay, well, as the... As the leader of this motley crew, I guess the one thing I could say is that I plot and plan very, very well. And I not only plot and plan well, but I fix other people's plots and plans pretty well. In fact, let me point out to you the problem with your zombie plan, and let me fix that for you. Oh, you survived! Wonderful! Now take me with you. Because I'll fix the next one, too. Watch me do it!
I think the only thing I would have is I could be like the agent for my grandmother.
The agent for... Okay, you need to explain that.
Well, one thing is my grandmother is, of course, a registered nurse, which is very important. And she is also one of the scariest people you'll ever meet. She is a force of nature.
So what you're saying is you'll survive because someone else will... demand that you get brought along?
Yeah. The,
okay. Now, if you're her agent, why wouldn't she just, you know, like, kill you and keep the 15%? Because if she is the scariest person ever, she'd be like, what are you, a remora? You're gone.
And she, you know, she hates the way you drive.
So serve.
You know, serve won't survive because there's no Chick-fil-A.
Hey, I will say, those who believe in the Jesus chicken are protected.
If it came right down to it, I feel okay.
You feel okay? That's your skill. No. Hey, dudes, it's okay, because I feel okay. It's like the feel good, I'm okay, you're okay, Mr. Zombie. Ow, what are you doing?
I did a lot of years in Boy Scouts. And I can build
and that was bridge. Just a couple years ago.
You know, a lot of camping, a lot of scrounging.
So you could be a scoutmaster for the rest of us.
Right.
Zombie scoutmaster.
I know what to do if you have poison ivy.
And that will be our most pressing concern as we run from the ravening dead.
Clearly. Oh, service! I can't stop itching. They're gonna catch me.
Turn around. Go the other way.
Yes, in the corner there.
I'll survive because I've had a course on eating insects, and after the zombie apocalypse, all will be huge super colonies of scarab beetles who eat dead flesh, of course, and they will take over the world after they've ate all the zombies.
Add that to the plan.
Do they taste good?
You gotta, like, popcorn, you gotta pop.
Do you roast them? Bake them?
Somebody else raise your hand for the love of God.
Actually... Rox, I will point out that once you've used the paint to bash in the heads of the people and taken over the land where they grow their own crops, you will have tomatoes, which you can turn into ketchup, which makes everything taste good, which might help with popcorn, dung beetles, or whatever. Scarabs, the thing with the stuff in this thing.
Flesh-eating.
Flesh-eating, yeah. Yeah, sage.
Oh.
I'm going to go with Siege.
Yes.
That's my plan.
None of you mentioned your association to me with your marketable skills.
I covered a list of people who are good with weaponry. I did this.
Siege, you're our secret weapon. But not anymore, so thanks for standing up.
Speaking of weapons, what are your primary, secondary, and melee choices for the other?
I feel like I'm kidding out for a first-person shooter. You get two guns and a melee weapon. Oh, damn!
I do know how to shoot a gun and a rifle, so I'm good with that. I know how to use a pickaxe. And a hoe.
So does Scott, and that won't save him.
Next.
Oh, wow.
You should now, do this really quick.
Okay, Siege. I need clarification. What is the nature of the apocalypse?
Take your pick.
Ah, see, because it does change the answer, obviously. Because if there are zombies, one of the options has to be a shotgun.
Yes.
If there are not zombies and we're traveling a post-apocalyptic wasteland, I find the shotgun of limited utility to range issues. I'd rather kill them from really, really far away. Something in a reasonably high-powered hunting rifle. And a reasonably high capacity sidearm, and melee weapons, anything I can that advantages my mass, something hafted, or a really solid aluminum ball bat, because those are really hard to mess up. What's that?
Got your peg for an axe.
That an axe would work, preferably double bladed, but I'd take a fire axe if I had to.
And my axe.
Exactly.
Thank you, those of you who left on that. Alright. I'd go with zombies too, so I'd have to say shotgun. I mean, there's nothing. I cannot play those damn zombie shooter games in the arcade.
Can you shoot one?
What? Oh, yeah, I've shot a shotgun, yeah. Okay.
Well, and the second option for the zombie apocalypse, second weapons, and we covered the shotgun, the obvious first, because you don't want to have to worry about accuracy, is a flamethrower.
Well, come out.
Unless I know zombies that are just on fire.
Yes,
you lack vision. Deadfalls, buildings with bolted doors, set the whole thing on fire. You gotta trap them in a building and burn the whole thing down. You're thinking small. I don't want to set a zombie on fire. I want to set thousands of zombies on fire.
So basically, Doc, what you're saying is you know someone who knows how to make napalm.
I cannot.
Siege raises his hand.
Confirm nor deny if I know someone who knows how to make napalm.
Siege could make napalm with what's in this room, okay? Anyway, so for me, I'd have to go with a shotgun. I would also want some kind of silenced weapon, because obviously if you make too much noise, that's like a billboard for zombies, okay? And then I would probably want to go with something bladed. I agree with Max Brooks that blades don't need reloading, which is why they're fantastic. I like what Jonathan Mayberry said in a previous panel about a katana blade. I think that would be tasty. A machete's not bad either, but just anything that can screw up the neck enough to screw up the spinal column and make them fall over. I mean, I'm good with that.
Probably for my primary weapon would be the AK-47, because those things don't break. I mean, there have been AK-47s that have been around since the Soviet Union in Afghanistan, and they're still going. They're still killing people.
Ammo is plentiful.
Exactly. And also, another thing is, you don't have to destroy a zombie. You just have to go for, like, immobilizing it enough to get away from the teeth and the claws and all that. So you just shoot him a couple in the kneecaps and then run.
Although, I will say...
I will back Siege up here and just say that is spoken exactly like someone who's never attempted to fire an AK-47.
But the problem then, of course, is then you've got a crawling zombie.
Yeah.
Which it's low and out
which,
of your line
yeah,
of sight.
Yeah, which you're looking up here and then going, ow, oh shit. Yeah, there's nothing worse to hear from one of your friends or compatriots in a zombie apocalypse than just, oh, shit. What? So, Zerv.
I like where you're thinking with the AK-47, except I'm going to go AR-15 or M-16.
thousands and thousands of rounds throughout this country. You can scope it, and it's pretty easy to use. Very, very light recoil. Shotgun for sure. Absolutely. Secondary, probably shotgun. And you can reload shotgun on your own. You can pack your own shells pretty easily. And then, let's go Quentin Tarantino. Let's go samurai sword.
Why not?
Yeah, it's good stuff. Sharp blade, tight, compact.
Got a high side, but go.
No. All right, we got just a couple minutes left, so we'll take just a couple quick questions. Yes, you.
Three weapons are obviously chainsaw, and nunchucks.
Okay.
chainsaw, and nunchucks.
No, hang on. But the problem with that is, as Max Brooks pointed out, is that chainsaws require either power from somewhere, which is either plugged in, which means you would need a hell of a long extension cord, okay, or gas, which there's nothing worse than running out of gas, and then there's your oh shit moment. Put, oh shit. So I just urge caution. That's all. But yes, it was right here. Yes.
Yeah, I just want to say, for anybody that picked a projectile weapon, gotta go shotgun. And the reason is because ammo for everything else is really hard to get right now. There's a shortage of, like, you can't.
Well, I have to assume that in the event of apocalypse, ammo of any kind is going to be scarce.
You got a better chance of getting shotgun right now.
Well, the other problem, too, shotgun completely, because there's...
You might have a better chance of getting shotgun. Well, I know what I have a good chance of getting.
I have, like, 400 rounds of shotgun.
I drive by people with M16s on my way to work, and I know there are cases full of this stuff nearby.
Exactly.
So, and you work at an elementary school.
You caught me.
Yep. So, okay, any final thoughts? We've got like 2 minutes left. Rox, final thoughts on the apocalypse?
Be happy.
So you and Serv are going to be having he'll have a pint, you'll have what, some port or something?
Yeah.
Okay, rock on. Doc?
I can make chocolate, so I'll go make it.
Okay.
You can live on her land.
All right.
I've got a friend bringing me some cacao back from Colombia.
How many?
Well, I hope they get here quickly.
How many pounds do you have?
Now I'm getting plants so I can grow my own chocolate.
Whoa. Yeah, you've suddenly become a lot more popular in this room. I think there would be lots of people bidding for your services.
Everybody in here was like, you know, guns, weapons, I can grow my own food.
That's what I'm saying.
I can make chocolate, and I'm good at sex, so I'm set.
Well,
whoa, hello. That'll be a completely different panel. Post-apocalyptic sex.
Because everything's better with chocolate.
There you go.
Yeah.
Morale is important.
Yes, zombies dipped in chocolate is so much better.
Maybe not the zombies, but bugs dipped in chocolate is much better.
So you guys are going to hook up, so that's cool. Alright, Doc, did you give fun of the item?
Make friends with shooters and learn a marketable skill. that's my advice, and watch the skies.
Yes. Alright, Scott?
We're fucked. Pretty much.
Yeah, but you say that every time we get together.
True.
Alright, Serv?
You know, the thing that came to mind while we were here is bad apocalypse now. I hadn't remembered it until we were on this panel, but the movie Night of the Comet.
Yeah.
Everybody turns into, it looks like tin.
I know. Yeah. There you go, service.
Unless you were under tin. Oh, tin's the magic. Tin's the magic. It would keep me safe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that.
Let's play a game. It's called Scary Noises. So, okay. My final thought is that we're done. So we're out of time. So listen, thanks everyone for coming. We'll deal with panel being on a second. A couple quick announcements. We are needcoffee.com. Strangely enough, you can find us on the web at needcoffee.com. That's not a trick thing.
Hi there. Many of you know me as the half-assed engineer John on Need Coffee's Weekend Justice podcast. But what most of you don't know is that before I was internationally known by tens of people, I was a patient at the Sleep Deprivation Institute, known as NeedCoffee.com. NeedCoffee.com has provided me and many of you with hundreds of hours of therapy through engaging rants, dreamcasts, reviews, contests, news of the offbeat and cool, and of course, more information about caffeine than was really necessary. Why, without NeedCoffee, I might have actually seen Starship Troopers 4 bugging out. Thank you, Neat Coffee, for saving me from that fate. Now, all this goodness does come at a cost, so the fine folks at Neat Coffee are asking for your help. Please head over to neatcoffee.com/memberships to learn what you can do to keep this invaluable resource alive. Your contribution not only will allow for more great content and more chances to win free shit, but it might just save a kitten. So as you sit there, listening to this podcast, this free podcast, sipping on your $8 Café de Frou-Frou, think about what you could have done with that money instead. Sure, you could have donated to some worthy cause, or you could keep Need Coffee and kittens alive. Your choice. Visit needcoffee.com/memberships for more details. Oh, crap. Did I record that?